passage from Ecclesiastes, the Old Testament preacher, found in, on page 828, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 13. This also have I seen as wisdom under the sun, and it was great unto me. There was a little city, and few men within it. And there came a great king against it, and encompassed it, and built great bulwarks against it. And there was found in it a poor wise man, who by his wisdom delivered the city. But no man remembered that poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Now in the New Testament, the second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8, it's on page 1397. Second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 8 and verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor, in order that ye, by his poverty, might be enriched. And then back in the first epistle to the Corinthians, First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, to Jews an offence, and to nations foolishness, but to those that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, God's power, and God's wisdom. Chapter 2 and verse 7. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, our hidden wisdom, which God has predetermined before the ages for our glory, which none of the princes of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Suppose if I was to go out into the streets today and stop somebody and ask them, well, what's special about today? I would get the answer, oh, today's Remembrance Sunday. And that's right. I think throughout the world, particularly this part of the world, today is recognised as Remembrance Sunday, the day to remember those that have given their lives for the country, those that have sacrificed themselves for the good of others, those that have fought for freedom, men and women, maybe children too, have lost their lives in the service of the country, and that's remembered, and rightly so. And I'm not unmindful of it on this day. But today is also special for many, many people because of another reason. And it relates very much to the thought of why people today are remembering those that have given their lives. But I remember today one who is greater than all of those names put together. We sang in our hymn at the beginning, join all the glorious names of wisdom, love and power that mortals ever knew. And if you were to take all the names that have been remembered today throughout this country alone, thousands and thousands of names of those who have given their lives, there's a place in Cambridge on which there's a wall in which there are over 5,000 names written of people who've lost their lives and whose bodies were never found in the war. And then there's another field where there's another 3,000 graves of the bodies that were recovered, those that gave their lives in the war. But if I was to join, that's just a little, in a little spot in Cambridge, 8,000 names, and put them all together, they're still too mean to compare to the worth of the one who I remembered this morning. All are too mean to speak his worth, too mean to set the Saviour forth. And I don't mean to put anyone down who has been remembered today, but this is now the glad tidings, God's glad tidings concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I just wanted to present to you my impression of that glorious one, the way that His name is far above the name of anyone else we could mention, the way he has given his life is beyond the death of anyone else. God compares it in the scriptures too. You'll find in the Epistle to the Romans that Paul speaks about those that give their lives. He says, for the just man, for scarcely for the just man will one die, but perhaps for the good man someone might also dare to die. But God commends his love to us in that we, being still sinners, Christ has died for us. God recognizes that there are those that give their lives for a good cause, and very commendable it is. But God commends to us his love in that while we had no thought of that we were sinners and needed the saving, God has provided everything through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he has died for us. And that's the one I want to speak about. And I thought I'd do it in a rather unusual way by taking a little story that Solomon, the Old Testament preacher, gave in his book, The Ecclesiastes, a book of sayings. Much of it is about wisdom, and he's spoken of as the preacher. Ecclesiastes, or the preacher, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Solomon, a very wise man. But the Lord has to remind his followers that although he was a wise man, and the Queen of Sheba came to see him, and she is commended for that, yet there was one wiser than Solomon in their midst, the Lord Jesus himself. And this little story told by Solomon, I think, is a little illustration of a gospel message, and I want to use it in that way tonight. So Solomon had noticed something in his life, and in his great wisdom that he was given by God, he could see something that had happened that spoke to him of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this little story, probably unnoticed, certainly probably not recorded in history anywhere, because I can't find any details about what this little city was. I can't find any details about the event that is described here, where a great king came against the city and tried to overcome it. And I certainly don't know any details about who this poor wise man was that saved the city. But there we have a picture presented to us that Solomon knew about, of an event which seemed as if it was a hopeless case. There was no chance for this little city to survive the threat of a great king who encompassed it and built great bulwarks about it and against it. Such a little city would never have withstood a siege of that nature and of that intensity. And it speaks to me about Satan's attack upon you and upon me. Satan wants you for himself. He wants to rob God of any response that you might care to give to God. He wants to prevent you from meeting God. He wants to prevent you from returning to God, because a great distance has come in between you and God because of sin. Satan himself has been responsible for that. He defied God in the very beginning, set himself up against God. And as a result of that great fall that's spoken about by the prophet by Isaiah, you can read about it, Satan described as one called Lucifer. That sin that entered into the heart of Satan was meant that Satan was bent upon robbing God of everything. And that was why he immediately attacked Adam and Eve. When man was created for God's pleasure, for God to receive a response, so that Adam and Eve, when they were first created, God would walk with them in the garden in the cool of the evening, and he would enjoy communion with them. He would speak to them about the day and about all that had happened, and he would enjoy their company. Satan wanted to rob God of that, and so through the introduction of thoughts into Eve and into Adam, he persuaded them that God was trying to keep something from them, that God was trying to not give them the best and that they were tempted to eat of the fruit of the tree. Well-known story, as we know, spoken of as the fall of man. It really was the introduction of sin into mankind. And because of that sin that they committed against God, that sin has brought upon death, brought death upon them. But not only them, but on the whole of the human race, you and I included. Not only has it brought in death, but it's brought in a ruination of the whole world in which we live. The creation has been marred by sin. The creatures in the world, the very universe in which we live has been impacted by it. So even space itself, things that have happened there have resulted in the universe not being as it was intended by God. And so this great king encompassed against the little city is a picture of Satan against you and me. And what can be done? Well, as this story unfolds, it says there was found in it a poor, wise man. I'd like to suggest that the poor, wise man is none other than the blessed person of the Lord Jesus Christ. One, the Saviour of the world. And he was put there by God himself. God sent his Son into the world as Saviour of the world. It may be it was 4,000 years after Adam and Eve were created, but the scripture says that in the fullness of time God sent his Son. He allowed that time to lapse for a very good reason. God sent many people into the world to speak of his intention to save and to become for man to be reconciled to him. We were reminded, weren't we, earlier today of how God spoke in many ways formerly to the fathers in the prophets, but at the end of these days has spoken to us in the person of the Son, whom he has established heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Well, I wanted to speak about this one. You might have thought, well, the person of the Son, that's a great person. What richness characterizes such a one? The creator of the worlds, the one who holds all things together by his power. There could be none greater than that. Well, that's why I read in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sakes he, being rich, became poor. God sent him in this world, and he came in as a poor, wise man. I want to suggest that to you tonight, because it's not the way of the world. It's not the way of you and I might think of combating a great king who comes against us, to use a poor man. But God, in his wonderful grace, so that he might demonstrate something of his grace and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent his Son, and he, being rich, became poor. Paul puts it another way when he writes to the Philippians. He says about this man, Christ Jesus, who, subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men. That's one who was God, was prepared to put aside that glory and deity that he had, in the sense that he hid it from man. And he emptied himself, and he took a bondman's form. He became poor. He, being rich, became poor, in order that you and I, by his poverty, might be enriched. Well, we're going to find out a little bit about how that happened. But let's just go back to that story in Ecclesiastes. It says there that there was a place now. Sorry. Get my book marker in. It says there that it is a poor wise man who by his wisdom delivered the city. It doesn't tell us how or by what means. What it does say is, but no man remembered that poor man. And I just, my attention was drawn to that scripture when I was thinking about this particular day, Remembrance Sunday, and those that we do remember. But just by contrast, there are many that have ignored this poor wise man that God has sent into the world. The one who became poor, the one who always was wise and always is wise. The wisdom of the Lord Jesus surpasses even that of Solomon. But he became poor by entering into this world for you and for me. And that man has not been remembered. He's perhaps thought of as a historical person, one who did come. I think there's no doubt that there's evidence that the Lord Jesus was here. But is he remembered? Have you remembered him? Have you remembered that God sent him into this world for your enrichment, that by his poverty you might be enriched? Well, this poor wise man is just presented in the scripture in this way, as one who was there when he was needed, provided in the little city to deliver that city, but no man remembered him. Wisdom is better than strength, but the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. Well, that's the picture of the Lord Jesus who came to his own received him not. His words were despised, his words were not heard. And particularly we see that at the cross when he gave his life. The crowds would say, away with this man, we will not have this man to rule over us. One who had previously entered into the city as their king, riding upon the donkey, the crowds waving the palm branches in front of him. It was the fulfillment of a prophecy that had been made many years before, that the king of Israel would enter into the city and establish his position as the one who would be the true king of Israel, the Messiah, the one that Israel as a nation was waiting for. But they had not received him. And in a way, it touches upon that other scripture that I read in the first epistle to the Corinthians. God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God had predetermined before the ages for our glory. I suppose in one sense, Satan, in his attempt to thwart God of his plans and purposes, had blinded the eyes of the nation so they couldn't see this poor wise man for what he was in all his glory. It says, which none of the princes of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, that wisdom is what we preach tonight to you. The wisdom of Christ crucified. Foolishness to the world, but to those that are saved, it is God's power to salvation. The fact that Jesus has died for you. We can understand the thought of his death, in a sense, especially on a day like this, when we do remember those that have given their lives for the freedom of others. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus has done. He's given his life for your freedom from sin, for my freedom from sin, so that your sins can be taken away and you can be set free from the bondage of sin. Satan holds you in that, and death, because we're held captive to death. It says that, doesn't it, in the Epistle to the Hebrews. The fear of death. People today are fearful of death. But the Lord Jesus has come into this world, partaken of blood and flesh, took part in the same, that through death he might annul him who has the might of death, that is the devil, and might set free all those who through fear of death, through the whole of their life, were subject to bondage. That's a picture, using the language of the writer of Hebrews, of what you and I held in bondage to sin, in fear of death. And that's what sadly many, many people in the world are like today, whether they admit to it or not. But Jesus has come and died in order to set us free from that. And it's wonderful that we can speak about that on a day like this. The Lord's Day, day of grace. And it's through his death. So we preach Christ crucified. Christ, God's power and God's wisdom. Well, I'd like to leave you with that impression of the poor, wise man that God has provided so that you and I can be saved. So that city that we read of, that Solomon spoke about, was saved. What rejoicing there must have been at the time. But then how quickly they forgot the poor wise man who had brought about the salvation of that little city. Well, it's another aspect of the gospel is that if you come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour, do you forget about him once you know that your sins have been forgiven, that he's died for you and your sins? Do you then forget about the way that he died for you? Do you then forget what it cost him? The fact that he had to shed his precious blood? He had to give his life? He, the sinless one, was made sin so that you and I could be set free from our bondage of sin. So he was made sin. He was sinless himself. He was perfect. He was the one that had emptied himself. He was God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form. Well, can you understand the way that Paul describes his exaltation? For having been brought so low, he's been given now a name which is above every name. Wherefore, also God highly exalted him, granted him a name that which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of heavenly and earthly and infernal beings, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to God the Father's glory. You know, it's an interesting passage that, because it tells me that there's a day coming when everyone will remember this poor wise man, the one who became poor for our sakes. They will remember, they will be made to bow the knee. There will be a day coming when no one will be allowed to forget what the Lord Jesus has done. Every knee, it says, of heavenly and earthly and infernal being, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to God the Father's glory. But the question today is, are you going to remember the Lord Jesus today? Are you going to bow the knee to him today? Acknowledge him as your Saviour. Accept him as the one who has died for you. God gives us that opportunity in the gospel preaching to come to him, to accept the Saviour that he has provided, the poor, wise man that is there available for you so that you can be delivered from the power of sin and from Satan's power too. The one who would seek to prevent you from returning this praise and glory to God. So the name that every knee should bow to Jesus, give him worship, give him honour and give him glory. You can do that today if you accept him as your Saviour, and you would want to remember him and give him thanks. So you can remember him in the breaking of bread, as many of us in this room did today. What a wonderful privilege it is to remember the one who has died for us. He's asked us to do it, so in that sense it is a commandment. But as we take it up in love, and remember him, I think it helps us to appreciate the greatness of the one who was sent, the poor wise man. May we have a greater impression of him, and may we not forget him, but may he grow ever precious to us, and may we know something of being able to share something of that preciousness that we've found in him with those that are around us. Well, may it be so. In his name, sir.
Amen.